Every Sunday when we profess the creed, we say, He descended into hell, and on the third day rose again from the dead. And I don't know about you, but that's always a funny line in the creed. Have you ever wondered what precisely does it mean that He descended into hell? And we get this actually a large part from the second reading today. Jesus truly enters into the realm of the dead. This is what He does between His death and His resurrection. He's going to that realm of the dead to proclaim the good news, to bring life and salvation, as Peter speaks about. Put to death in the flesh, He was brought to life in the Spirit. In it, He also went to preach to the spirits in prison, who had once been disobedient while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark. Right? Jesus descends into this realm of the dead. The gospel was even preached to the dead. Right? I want to look at that word, though, hell, as it's used in the Hebrew, it would be Sheol. In the Greek, it would be Hades. It's the realm of the dead because those who are there are deprived of the vision of God. And the Catechism says, such was the case for all of the dead, whether evil or righteous, while they awaited a Redeemer. But their lot is not identical. There's different realms of the dead before this happens. We know of the realm of the dead that Jesus speaks of called Gehenna. That'd be the hell of the damned, right? There's also this Hades or Sheol, the realm of the dead who are not damned. And it's called, among other things, Abraham's bosom. We see this actually in Luke's gospel, that story of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor man. And the rich man dies and he is suffering. And he asks Abraham, he sees Abraham with the poor man Lazarus, says, let Lazarus just dip his finger in water and give it to me because I'm suffering. He says, we can't. There's a chasm between us. There's a chasm in the realm of the dead, even at that time. Right? This rich man in this story is in the hell of the damned in Gehenna, whereas Lazarus is waiting in Abraham's bosom. Jesus descends into the realm of the dead, Hades, of the righteous who are awaiting the news of salvation, not into the hell of the damned to destroy the hell of damnation, but to free the just who have gone before Him. This is remarkable to think about. Think of who He meets down there during that time. He'll see Adam and Eve, Moses, Noah, David, all the patriarchs, John the Baptist, even His foster father Joseph. It's a remarkable thing to ponder and to contemplate that moment of Jesus descending into that realm, bringing the good news of the gospel. Come with me. It's typical of Jesus to go to the place of the dead, to go to a desert place where there is no life so that He can bring life and salvation and grace. He continues to do this time and again. This is His mission. He does this in the lives of our catechumens and candidates. You who are preparing for baptism, you're going to receive the grace of baptism, which was spoken about again by Peter. This is a saving act. It's not mere symbol. It brings about a saving act in your soul. The realm of sin in your heart is destroyed and you're purified, made new. Just like the flood destroyed the ancient world and then purified it, renewed it. This is what's going to happen to your soul. The realm of sin and death being destroyed, you being purified and putting on new life in Christ Jesus. It's a saving act, a remarkable thing. You're brought into the ark of the church, the means of salvation set up by Christ to save us from the flood of sin. Jesus continues to go to deserted places, to these realms of death in our lives, in our souls. We see this again in the gospel, just after His baptism. Jesus is impelled by the Spirit to go to a deserted place, this place of death. And Mark makes a couple of references here, little ones, that help show us he's identifying Jesus as a new Adam. You catch the line here where it says, He was among wild beasts. The angels ministered to Him. The last time we heard of a man alone in a place with wild beasts would have been in Genesis, right? Adam at the beginning of creation. Here's Jesus not in a garden, but in a desert place, because the consequence of sin has cast us from the garden into this deserted place. But there's Jesus among the wild beasts with the angels ministering to him. It's a reference of Jesus as a new Adam. Even in some of the Jewish traditions, they would say that Adam and Eve were ministered to and fed by angels in the garden. Jesus is the new Adam coming to undo the sin of Adam and Eve, to bring victory over sin and death. And again, he continues to go to deserted places in our souls, to that place of death and sin where he wishes to conquer, to bring life, to speak the words of the gospel, to bring salvation. This happens very poignantly in the lives of the catechumens and candidates, but it happens in us as well. And as we prepare for Easter, we're all going to renew our baptismal promises. And so Christ longs to enter into the deserted places of our lives, to the realms of death in our soul, in order to speak those powerful words, "I came that they might have life and have it in abundance." We can see also in Isaiah this promise, "I will open up rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the broad valleys. I will turn the desert into a marshland, the dry ground into springs of water. I will plant in the desert the cedar, acacia, myrtle, and olive. I will set in the wasteland the cypress, together with the plane tree and the pine, that all may see and know and observe and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it." He wants to go into that deserted place, that place of the realm of death in our soul, to bring life. This could look like reconciliation. If it's been years since I've been, this is the Lent to do it, right? And to speak those words and to confess. Maybe there's been a sin I've held on to. I'm just too afraid to speak it. Again, put it in the light of Christ. When it's in the light of Christ, it loses its power. It's kind of like when we have security lights on our porch. What's one of the reasons why we have it? If a burglar comes and the light turns on, he's going to get out of there. It's the same with our sin. Shine the light of Christ on it, loses its power. Christ is able to speak life in our hearts. Or maybe, you know, for all intents and purposes, I'm just going on venial sins and not mortal sins, but I'm just kind of stagnated in my prayer life. And here, I don't go to prayer because it's dry or desert-like. And this is where Christ invites you, to go precisely there, not to simply go to prayer when it's desert-like and we get all the consolation, but to stay, even when it's dry, with the Lord, consistently with him, so that he can continue to stretch our heart and soul and speak words of life and conquer sin in our soul. We want to go day in and day out so that he truly can be the Savior that he so longs to be for each one of us. And so we invite the Lord into that realm of death in our soul, that deserted place, whatever it might be, ask him to speak words of life. And we do this also in a particular way, praying for our catechumens and candidates as they prepare for this full entrance into the ark of the church, receive the fullness of salvation in Jesus Christ.